Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from the book of Luke. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the gospel of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Isn't it wonderful that the people will answer to hear the word of God? And many people even yet are hungry for good, solid, sound gospel preaching. And when we study, when we read, when we hear preachers that teach and proclaim the truth of God from the Bible, that's exactly what we're doing. We're hearing the word of God. Now, there are several factors involved in hearing the message. There, of course, is the great message itself, the gospel. And there is the preacher, whose ability to preach has much to do with getting the message across. His manner and his attitude displayed can affect the reception of the message. But there is also the hearer to be considered. The way the word is received is important. Hearing and understanding the word of God is vital to us, friend. And when we know we cannot be saved without faith, and that faith comes by hearing the word of God, we can appreciate the importance of the way we hear. Our Lord spoke to those who had ears, but did not hear. Now, he had no reference to their physical deafness, but because of the way they heard the word, the motive they had for listening to the word, their reaction to it, they could not and would not understand. At the end of the teaching of the parable of the sower, Jesus warned, "Take heed how ye hear." Our motive for hearing the word of God will determine how we react to it. The Lord says we must be aware and we must be careful to rightly hear the word of the Lord. The lesson shall investigate some motives for which people have in the New Testament days for hearing the word. And these motives are very likely exist among people today. Now, some listened to Paul preached out of idle curiosity. This was true in Athens. When he preached the resurrection, they said, "What will this babbler say?" And they brought him to the Areopagus and said, "We may know this new doctrine." But the trouble was, for all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. Paul was waiting for Timothy and Silas there in the city of Athens. He observed the idolatry of the city. He had begun preaching the truth. It had been said that in Athens at this time there were more idols than people. But Paul openly preached in the marketplaces, in the synagogues, wherever he had opportunity. But those who came to listen in Athens were of a peculiar sort. Athens was overrunning with people who wanted knowledge, but just for knowledge's sake. They would gather to listen and to someone speak just so they could be aware of what was going on. They seldom acted upon the knowledge that they had and what they received. Their reason for wanting to hear Paul further was nothing but curiosity about what he was proclaiming. Could it be that today some study the Bible for no better motive than that? Possibly some attend the worship services of the church just to know what's going on, just to be curious, not to really learn the truth. But some listen to the preaching with a desire for personal advancement and material gain. I remember when I was a child, a certain druggist came to our community and attended worship services, and he said, "It's good business to go to church." There was a politician in our community who always went around visiting all the churches in the area just before an election. Well, some make sure they have their church membership in the largest and most profitable churches. This motive is not a new one, even though it's an evil one. That was the motive Felix had for listening to Paul. He hoped that Paul would give him some bribe, and by that he would gain his freedom. but he listened for the motive for personal gain, not that he might learn the truth and to be saved. Felix heard the word, and he heard it often, and he hoped that Paul would in some way advance money unto him, and Paul would bribe him, and it would be to Felix's material advancement to hear the word. So he was willing to hear it from time to time. But some listened to the preaching of the gospel with the expectation and desire to simply ensnare and entrap the preacher. They're trying to find fault with what he is saying. Possibly they listen attentively, hoping, however, to hear something that they can fault a neighbor or fault a brother, or some reason or another they can fault the one who's doing the speaking. Now, preachers are aware of that. They know that some have that sinister motive. And this is why gospel preachers rely so heavily upon simply, "Thus saith the Lord." And then if someone finds fault of his message, why, the fault will be laid against the Word of God. Preachers are cautious and careful about the facts they present. They spend hours making sure the truth is taught, and they stand ready to prove that truth. And there are those who came to hear Jesus with this evil motive. Mark 12 tells us, "And they send unto him certain Pharisees and of the Herodians." Why? To catch him in his words. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity they had. But they wasted that opportunity because they listened to what Jesus had to say with the wrong motive. His words were twisted, they were distorted, in order to find fault with what he was saying, to make some kind of accusation against him. Those who hear the word of God with this motive, they only harm themselves. Trying to prove somebody else to be wrong is not likely to bring one to the truth unless he approaches the word of God with an open mind. It's not hard to find fault with other people, and to find fault with preachers especially. But while one listens to preaching with that kind of motive, he's going to miss that by which he could have profited. We should not hear the word of God just waiting to take issue with something that one might say and then try to use it against him. And you have heard people who rejected the gospel message sometimes say, well, they just didn't like the preacher. Well, sometimes people will listen to the truth because they like the preacher, and sometimes they'll close their minds against the truth because they happen not to like that particular preacher. Well, this is not alarming. Everybody has their likes and their dislikes according to things like that. But to consent to hear and receive the gospel only when certain ones are doing the preaching, that's to place the messenger above the message of truth. Some people stay away from services because their favorite preacher is not preaching. Some people will listen because their favorite preacher is preaching. Friend, to love the truth more than men is an obligation that we have when we hear the word of God. Those who allow the like or dislike of the speaker and ignore the message of truth that's being preached, they only damage their own souls. And this was part of the trouble, wasn't it, in the church at Corinth? When some were after Paul, some followed after Apollos, some after Cephas, some say after Christ. Well, they were simply following preachers. They were not following the truth that was being preached. Now, preachers, of course, appreciate encouragement. They like to have their efforts appreciated. But we cannot tie our soul's welfare to any man. And while preachers like those who will support them, and, of course, have to be careful about those who just simply dislike them, we must always put the message that is being preached above the individual that happens to be preaching it. Men will often disappoint you anyway. We ought not support the gospel just because we like or dislike what the preacher is. We should do what the Lord wants us to do. Uphold the message of truth in word and deed and in our manner of life. Then, of course, there are those, then and now, who hear the word of God because they want to know God's truth. They want to do what's right. They want to benefit from the message of salvation that God has given. After all, the gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And those who have the good motive to learn the truth so they can believe the truth and so they can obey the truth, why, certainly that's the way we ought to be. This was the motive of the Ethiopian that we read about in Acts chapter 8, when Philip joined him in his chariot. The Ethiopian was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He didn't understand what the prophet was talking about. He asked Philip, "Of whom speaketh the prophet, himself or some other man?" Well, Philip took the opportunity at that particular scripture and began to preach Jesus unto him. And he preached unto him to the point that he wanted to obey the gospel of Christ. He saw some water. He said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "You can if you believe." Now, pause right here and ask the question, how was it that he came to believe? Friend, he had heard the word of God. That's the way faith comes. It's by and through the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And having heard that word, he believed, and now he wanted to obey. And therefore Philip baptized him. But he had heard the word with the desire of knowing the truth and how it applied to him and how he could be blessed by that gospel. When a person approaches God's word with this good motive, there are several other virtues possibly that he will possess. He'll listen to that word with respect. He'll have reverence for it because he knows he's hearing God's word. It's worthy of being received. Paul mentioned to the Thessalonians, "For this cause we also thank we God without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And when we approach the word of God with a desire to the truth, we'll have an open mind, and we'll want to be listen to what the Lord has to say for us, and we will strive to do that. Friend, when one wants the truth, he's going to measure what he hears by the word. Peter said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Paul admonished, "Prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good." We should be like the noble Bereans, who searched the scriptures daily to see what was the truth. And when we have that kind of motive for listening to the gospel, we're going to learn the truth, and we'll believe and obey the truth, and we'll have respect for the truth, and we'll want to tell others about the truth. Those who hunger for truth will not be satisfied with just a minimum doubt of daily bread. They will take advantage of the opportunities to hear and to study the word of God. Great blessings await those who hear God's word with a good motive. In the New Testament days, there were people who were converted, and they went on their way rejoicing. Well, the same thing is true today. People hear the word, so thankful that someone has brought the gospel to them, and they obey it, and they go on their way rejoicing. There are great blessings in listening to the word of God, but now we must ask ourselves, and we must be careful. What is our motive for listening to the truth? What's your motive for studying the Bible? What's your motive for listening to Thus Saith the Lord? Is it to want to believe the truth and to obey the truth and be blessed by that truth? Or do you have some sinister motive that sometimes people have? We trust that we will study it with an open heart and with a desire to please God. This has been A Burning Fire. Until next time.